Now, we mentioned before that the days of Hanukkah are very auspicious days, that a lot can be achieved in the days. We mentioned in the last class, in the last two classes, how at the 30 minutes when the lights of the candles are shining, we get a he'ara, a revelation of the Or HaGanuz. I don't want to repeat that because we made already three classes about that. But I explained how the world was created with light, vayihor, and there should be light. And this light was shining in the world for 36 hours, for 3 days. Later on the fourth day, Hashem created the sun, and He concealed the light. Vayar Hashem kitov, Hashem saw the light is good, and He concealed, He removed this light, la'atid lavo, when Mashiach is going to come. This is called the Or HaGanuz. And we know that it shined for 3 days, because the sun was created on the fourth day, which means that this light was shining for 36 hours. How do we get to 36 hours? Because a day has 24 hours in it. The Torah says, Vayere vayi boker. Half a day is erev, half the day is boker, half the day is light, half the day is dark. So 12 hours of light times 3 days, that's 36 hours. 36 hours is when the Or HaGanuz was shining. Adam HaRishon got a little bit of the Or HaGanuz in the couple hours that he was from him when he was created, till he was taken again before Shabbat. And every year we get a little glimpse from this Or HaGanuz on the holiday of Shavuot. Erev Shabbat we get a little hera, a little shine of this Or HaGanuz. I explained in the previous class. That's why the Zohar explains that when you light the Shabbos candles, you have, if you're looking in the candles, you'll see that there are three types of light. There's the orange light, there's the blue light, and there's the black light also. This is what the Zohar explains. I have a class about it. And we're going to do another class about the candles. But in short, the Zohar explains that you have the orange light. This corresponds to the Nefesh. The blue light corresponds to the Ruach. And then the black light, the black flame. If you look at the wick, you see that between the wick and the blue light, there's also like a black ring. This is what the Zohar is called Nehora Ukma, the black fire that we don't see. Inside of it is a He'ara, a shine from the Or HaGanuz. That's one of the many reasons why when you light the candles, you cover your eyes. So your neshama, because the orange light corresponds to the nefesh, the blue light corresponds to the ruach, then the black light corresponds to the neshama. I don't want to get into it. You can go and look. I have a lecture online about that. Then I'm explaining what does it mean it's corresponding to the nefesh, ruach, and neshama. But when you cover your eyes, is that the neshama can absorb and benefit from the Or HaGanuz from this dark, from this black light. When you cover your eyes, that's when you have to also meditate that you are looking at this black light. This is a glimpse of the Or HaGanuz. Hold on, let's hold the questions in a minute, we're done. So, on Erev Shabbat, you have another era of this Or HaGanuz. But when do we really get the most out of the Or HaGanuz? Is when we light the Hanukkah candles. That's why we have exactly 36 candles, corresponding to the 36 hours that the Or HaGanuz was shining in Sheshet Yamei Bereshit. That's why we light 36 candles. That's why when the Greek, when they came to fight us, they invented a horrible game and they brought it down in cards. There's a very, very, very harsh clip on cards. All the cards that we play, that people play with, all the games, poker or gin or whatever they play in it, that is a very, very severe klipa. There's actually a ma'amar in the book Dushat Levi Yitzchak. Levi Yitzchak from Berditchov is having a whole ma'amar about the tum'ah, about the impurity in these cards. You should not even have them in your home, these cards. And each card has a tzlamim, has a drawing of a klipa in these cards. And these 36 cards came to fight the 36 masachtot of the oral Torah that derived their power from the Or HaGanuz. That's why the Greek, when they came to fight, they didn't come to kill us. They came and gave us cards. Here, play Remy, play Gin, open a casino. So these cards have this impurity. So when we light the candles, we get a he'ara, a shine from this Or HaGanuz. This is a shine what we're going to see la'atid lavo. Very soon Mashiach is going to come. And the light that we're going to see is going to be this Or HaGanuz. 36 candles possess this light. When we light the candles, L'Arizal says the major part of the Hadlakat Neot is looking at the candles. Looking at the candles. And your neshama derives such a benefit from these candles that you don't want to sit and be busy with your donuts or checking your emails. This is the time that you have to meditate on these candles. The Arizal brings in Shara Kavanot that every day we have to meditate on one midah, one attribute of mercy of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we skip the first one, Hashem Hashem. On the first night we meditate on Kel, then Rachum, then Chanun. Every day we have to meditate on one attribute of mercy. I explained on Motzei Shabbat and also in last class about one of the tikkunim that Arizal brings about reading the Ve'inoam and Yosheva Seter Elyon. If you want, I'll repeat that. But I want to bring down, because you mentioned what sgulot, what powers we have in the time that we light the candles. So first of all, a lot of us are battling with what's called Yirat Shamayim, to have God-fearing. And if we're not battling with that, then our kids are battling with that. And if not our kids, then our loved ones that we know, they don't have Yirat Shamayim. Sitting next to the candles and just looking at the candles, it brings to a person Yirat Shamayim. Because you see that the letters of Re'iya, seeing, is the exact same letters of Yirah. Just by looking at the candles, sitting and looking at the candles, it arouses in a person Yirat Shamayim, God-fearing. One of the things is that in the light of the candles is hidden this Or HaGanuz, and this is the Oro Shel Mashiach. Just by looking at the candles, you are able to reveal the light of Mashiach. We have a very auspicious time to concentrate that if as many as Jews as possible would light candles and be next to the candles, this hastens the time of the Geula. Now, one thing is that the power of looking at the candles, being next to the candles, and saying the tikkun that I said, the Vehi Noam, has the power of sweetening judgments. Because unfortunately, we are sometimes, there's what's called dinim, gvurot, and we want to lamtik et hadinim, we want to sweeten the dinim. That's why we light the candles right when the night starts coming down. Because when the night comes down, this is what's called hidgabrut haklipa. The klipa becomes more powerful. So this is an auspicious time, what's called lamtik, to sweeten the dinim. Another thing is that this is a very auspicious time for refuah, whoever needs health. And we learn that because we have a pasuk that says, Ki el melech rofe ne'eman, and the gematria of Ki el melech rofe ne'eman is the exact same gematria of Lehadlik ner Chanukah. And it has an auspicious time for refuah. Another one is has a segula for parnasa, for livelihood. And this again, it's quoting Amcha Israel tzrichim parnasa. Your nation, Israel, needs parnasa. The Rashi Tevot, the first letter of each of these words has the numerical value of 250, which the numerical value of Ner, which is a candle, is also 250. By lighting the candle, I'm actually able to light up my Parnassah. Another quote is for the Parnassah is, it says, Ki lemechaya shelachani. Now we're reading about Yosef HaTzadik, that he was sent to Mitzrayim, and next week we're going to read, actually in this week, we're going to read how he's revealing himself to his brothers after he was rebuking them. And later on, when they're afraid what he's going to do to them, he says, don't worry, Ki lemechaya Hashem shelachani. Hashem sent me down to this country to bring Parnasa. So in the verse, Ki lemechaya shelachani, shelachani, again, has the same numerical of Lehadlik Ner Chanukah. It's equal to Lehadlik Ner Chanukah. This is brought down by the Sefer, the book of Arugot HaBosem. Now, another thing that we're suffering from is memory. You go to a Torah class, you enjoy the beautiful insights that you learn, then you go home and you don't remember one thing. You go home, what did you learn? I don't know, he was talking about something, about, I don't know, about oil. I don't remember. So some people write notes, and even when they read the notes, they don't understand one word of what they read, because you write like just that just the headlines. So we're suffering from what's called lack of zikaron, of memory. So we know, according to halacha, if you eat too much olives, it actually damages the memory. It's not good to eat a lot of olives. You eat a three or four, and that's it. So the opposite of oil, of olive, what comes out of the olives is the oil. And the oil that comes to the, that we light the candles, just by lighting it, has the power to light up the memory in our, in our system. Another thing is, and this was brought down by Rabbi Nachman from Breslev, that the lighting up the candles, especially on the eighth night, has the power for shidduch, for getting a shidduch, for yirat shamayim, for God fearing, for tefillah karaui, for praying with the right intention, and for shalom bayit. These are the four things that the power of the candles have. And again, this is brought down by Rabbi Nachman. Another thing is, this is brought by the Sifrei Divrei Chaim. This is another Kabbalah book. That it says that a person who's considered wicked, I mean, according to the halachic terminology, a person who does an avera, the moment that he does an avera is called rasha. Rasha doesn't mean that he's mean. It just, this is the terminology, that right now, if I fall down and I do a sin, I consider a rasha. But unfortunately, in our generation, we see that many people are rasha'im. So the light of the candles has the power of pulling out a rasha. That's why we see that we go out, you see many people, especially you see all the Chabad rabbis around the world, they go and light the candles everywhere, and they do it outside where you have hundreds of people, so everybody can look at the candle, doesn't matter who they are, and derive a little bit of benefit out of this candle. And a few more things, we're almost done. We have one midah that we battle a lot, and I mentioned that we're starting very soon a course about Tikkun HaMidot. One of the midah that we have a problem with, midah is an attribute, a character trait, is the midah that is called Vatranut. Vatranut is meant to give over. I have a fight, chas v'shalom, with somebody, or I have an argue with my wife, then I move back. This is called levater. Okay, even though I'm 100% right, just for the sake of the shalom, I give up. Not give up, I think levater is more to give in. This is called midata vatranut, because if I'm very stubborn, and I'm right, but the other side is also right, so there's going to be an argument, and it's not going to come to any solution, because I'm holding my ground, the other person is holding their ground, we're both right, and that's it, now a 3-year argument. So, especially you see that in couples, that they fight. So we need to empower this midah, this character trait of vatranut. Sometimes you have to give in. This is very good advice and very smart advice in regards to shalom bayit, is that sometimes you have to know when to give in, to levater, to let go, even though you're right. So this midah, we can actually empower during the time of Chanukah. Why? Because we see that the letters of the word nerot, candles, Nun, Resh, Vav, Taf, if you switch the letters around, has the same letters of Vatran, to give in. So by lighting the candles and meditating on it, I'm able to empower in me this midah, that it's easy for me to give in, and I don't feel that I lost something, that, oh, now he won. So this is a very big midah. This is another midah that we're talking about. It's called Histapkut, is to have satisfaction. I mentioned in the last class about Yavan, how the power of our thirst for all sorts of forbidden things comes from the nefesh. David HaMelech calls it Tzama Lecha Nafshi, that my soul has a thirst to something. Where do I get all this inclination, this desire for something? Because my nefesh is pulling me. Now if I give my nefesh, the lowest part of my soul, Kedusha, holiness, then it doesn't have this pull. But if I don't give it, and I actually feed it with all sorts of mundane and earthly things, then my nefesh has a thirst. This is why David HaMelech says, Tzama Lecha Nafshi, my nefesh wants more food, wants to sleep more, wants to get more pleasures. So, the nefesh never gets satisfied. This is called listapek, to have satisfaction. So this is another midah that I have to work on. And again, we're going to go through all these midot in the course of Tikkun HaMidot, is how I'm getting to a point that I'm able to fulfill my thirst. And I'm happy with what I have. This again has the power of the Nerot. And one more, it says about Ayin Tova, is to be able to see good in anything. Besides, just by looking at the candles, you know, we have a prohibition to look at forbidden things. Especially men. Men are not allowed to look in something that is impure. But also women has the exact same thing. I mean, we say when we read in Kriyat Shema, V'lo teturu achei levavchem v'achei enechem, after your eyes. So even by looking at somebody that has a nicer car than me, and it arouses jealousy in me, because they have a nicer car, or a bigger home, or a nicer coat, or whatever it is, and it arouses this jealousy in me, this is lo teturu achei enechem. So when I look at something like that, I damage the koach, the power of riyah. So looking at the candles has a good sgula, a good remedy to fix that. And the last thing, like I said, is this tikkun that we quoted on Motzei Shabbat. Ve'inoam, reading this Yoshev B'Seter Elyon, and Ve'inoam, I don't want to read it, it's long. You can look at it on the class. If not, later on I'll tell you. And of course, we want to concentrate that the two most auspicious days of Chanukah is the first day, because that's when the miracle happened, and the last day, because that's the day that happened what's called Chanukat HaMizbeach, the celebration of the altar. So the last day of Chanukah, and this year is going to be Friday, I mean going into Shabbos. This is the most powerful day, that everything can be achieved in that day. This corresponds to the eighth day, which is above nature, what corresponding to Yemot HaMashiach. This Shabbos is a very auspicious Shabbos. You want to make sure that you're lighting the Chanukiah on time, that you're doing everything that you need to do. If you did not pray the whole week Shacharit, like I mentioned and suggested last week, because you can say Hallel in this prayer, so make sure that you're praying on Friday. Make sure you're praying on Friday Mincha. I'm referring to you as ladies, not to the men that they have to do that. I'm saying to you as a bonus, because this Friday and Shabbat is a very, very auspicious time. And only one last thing is that this is mentioned by the holy books, that on the eighth day of Chanukah, a simple person can lif'ol, can do an action, what a tzaddik does. This is how powerful that day is. And on this day, whatever action I do, I have the ability to change something in the world exactly in the level of a tzaddik. So, excuse me?
Is Saturday not the eighth day?
Yeah, Saturday, like Shabbat. Not Motzei Shabbat. Motzei Shabbat is after Chanukah already.
So Saturday is also Shabbat.
This coming Shabbat, Bezrat Hashem, this is the last Chanukah we're celebrating in exile. So I'm hoping that nobody will see this video next year and have to learn for this for Chanukah. I hope this is the last Chanukah in exile. So this Shabbat is the most auspicious time to do everything that I told you, to make sure that you pray and try to, if you don't go to shul on Shabbat, this Shabbat go to shul. Why? Because we're going to have two Sifrei Torah. So we're hearing also the Nesim, and it's the last reading. So do whatever you can, effort to go this Shabbat to a shul. Do whatever you can this Shabbat. This is the ultimate time where we can actually lif'ol. And one last thing that I want to mention, because I don't know if we'll have a chance later on to do it. A lot of people are asking me, what's the concept of the sevivon, of the dreidel? So we can do a whole class about the dreidel maybe another time. But there's one thing in the dreidel that we have to mention. In the dreidel has four corners, corresponding to the four corners of the world. Arba ruchot ha'olam. And on each corner there's a letter. Gimel, Shin, Nun, and Hey. Goshna. You see now, next week we're going to read in the parasha, when Yaakov is coming to Mitzrayim, it says, Lech le'eretz Goshna. Go first to the city in Mitzrayim. In these letters, we have Gimel, Shin, Nun, and Hey. And that's, by the way, the order. Not the other way, that Nun, Hey, Gimel, Shin. That's not the right order. And now they made an invention, and they're making Nun Gimel Shin Pei. Nes Gadol Ayah Po. This is completely wrong, and it's no. I'm just, people think taking it as very light-headed. Sevivon is not stamatoi. You have to understand that the biggest mekubalim were playing with the sevivon. This is not a joke. I mean, they explain it that they used to play with it because the Yevanim, the Greek, would come in and say, "What are you learning Torah?" No, we're not learning Torah. We're playing with this toy. But there's great secrets in this toy. We know about many great mekubalim that used to play with the sevivon. The order of the letters is extremely important. When you come and change it and you're saying nun, gimel, hey, pei, that's wrong. And in our generation, most of the sevivonim, it says nun, gimel, hey, shin, that's the wrong order. The order has to be gimel, shin, nun, hey. Now, what's in these letters? Gimel is guf. Shin is nefesh, and it's talking about that there's constantly a battle between the guf is body, and nefesh is the soul. There's constantly a battle between the nefesh and the guf. And when I turn it around and it falls on one side, it will either fall either on the nefesh or either on the guf. Right? Can only be one of them. So this basically a response to the battle I constantly have between my body, my desires, and my nefesh, what my nefesh wants. My nefesh wants godliness, and my body wants physical pleasures. And the concept of the sevivon is that we constantly have this battle. We're turning around, our life is turning around, and it constantly I fall to one side. So with the power of the sevivon, I have the power of what's called hitgabrut ha-nefesh al haguf. Because constantly my guf, once my goof is a body, wants to pull, to eat, to sleep, to have pleasures, my nefesh needs to pull it away. And this, in the sevivon, there's a strict secret in the sevivon about what's called hitgabrut ha-nefesh al haguf, that my nefesh is constantly going to be empowering the body. And I read one interesting thing, is that in the letters, I don't know Yiddish that well, I only know a little bit of Yiddish, but in the letters there's a very interesting hint in Yiddish. So Shin, excuse me, in the letters of the Sevivon, Gimel Shin Nun Hey. So they used to play a game, and that was a couple hundred years ago, and the game was that the letters go like this. In the Nun, if the Sevivon falls on the Nun, Nun in Yiddish corresponds to the word nisht, nothing. You get nothing if you pray in the game. Now, gimel goes for guns, everything, right? So if it falls on the gimel, you get all the whole kupa, the whole how did you say pot, everything. Now, hey is for halp. This is half. So if it falls on a hay, you get only half. And the shin is a shtal. You have to add, and you get another round. That's how they used to play. So if you get the it falls on the nun, you don't get any. You had like a pot where they put, like, let's say, all the money or all the coins or whatever it is, and you play with it. You know, in the cards, the lumatze, if you win the cards, you get all the... If we play cards, chas v'shalom, each one of us puts, let's say, a dollar. Now, if I get the highest cards, I get all the dollars, right? That's how the game goes. So, this is the lumatze, the other side of holiness. In the holiness, so you put the Chanukah geld. Now, if I get the shin, so I got... if I got the nun, then I got nisht. I didn't get anything. Then it goes to your turn. If you get the hay, you get help. You get only half of it. So I read that. It's just interesting how the letters of the Sevivon have also a meaning to that. The point what I want to take from this is that Chanukah is the most auspicious time of the year. I mean, not necessarily the most auspicious, but a very auspicious time. I say the most auspicious time because a person can reach his kapara, his atonement. Some of the Chachamim, the sages of Kabbalah, say that you can reach on Chanukah more than what you can reach on Yom Kippur. That's how special Yom Kippur, yeah, Chanukah is. And we mentioned on Motzei Shabbat the hint where we see the dafka, the completion of the kapara is on Chanukah. So you can go and refer to that video of Motzei Shabbat that I talked about it. But Chanukah is a very auspicious time. And it's a time to really meditate on what I can achieve in those 8 days. And especially in the half an hour when I'm lighting the candles, what I can tap into, what I can derive out of it. And the most important thing is that if we all unite together like the candles, we can achieve the ultimate desire that we have, is to see the light of Mashiach, this Or HaGanuz, and that can be achieved on the days of Chanukah, and that's what we should concentrate on. We should concentrate on how I am bringing the light of Mashiach to the world, to penetrate into the world, with my tshuva, with my good actions. And I mentioned on Motzei Shabbat that the secret to all of that is the Achdut, is the unity. Exactly like I quoted the song of kids that says, "Banu Choshech Legaresh," we came to push away the darkness. "Beyadeinu Or Vaesh," in our hands is light and fire. "Kol Echad Or Katan," each one of us is a small light. "Aval Kulanu Beyachad Or Eitan," all together we are a massive light. This is the holiday of lights. Bezrat Hashem, if we unite and we light up the world, we can light up the world with the Rosh and Mashiach, with the light of Mashiach. Bezrat Hashem, we still have the opportunity of lighting 5 candles in Beit HaMikdash. We still have another 5 days of Chanukah. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to light up the Chanukiah in Beit HaMikdash already this year. Amen. Chag Sameach. If anyone has any questions, we'll take some questions and we'll go to the next class. Yes.